Our scripture reading is Isaac, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And it reads as here, as God's reading, In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and exalted, and the trains of his robe filled the temple. Above him was serpent, and each with six wings, with two wings that covers their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy is the Lord. Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voice, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the glory, have seen the King of the Lord Almighty. Then one of the serpents flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See this hath touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sins atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And I say, Here am I, send me. Thank you so much for that scripture reading. Pastor Robert.
All right. How many of you know a lot about the Old Testament prophets? Okay. We talked about dry bones just a few weeks ago. Was it just last week? Gee, it was just last week. We talked about dry bones. And Ezekiel was looking at this valley. God had taken him to this valley to see all these, and it said they were very dry. Well, we're jumping back in time, and this is what I find about the prophets that I find kind of hard to understand and keep in my mind. So, I want, if Dean would put up something on the board for you, the kings of Judah and Israel and the pre-exilic prophets. If you would like a copy of this, I will be glad to make copies. It doesn't really fit on the screen real well. We actually have two columns side by side. One is talking about the nation of Judah. The other is talking about the nation of Israel. It talks about the different prophets because some of the prophets spoke only to Israel. Some of them spoke only to Judah. And some of them crisscrossed. Okay? So that's one of the things that I find challenging. But to try and get all of that in your mind, it really helps to kind of have a chart. And this chart starts with different kings. It tells you the kings of each kingdom. And then in these little boxes, it tells you the prophets that ministered during those times. So you see in Judah, Obadiah was there first. Joel was next. And as we keep going down, we come to Micah and Elisha, and there, or Isaiah. They're on the left side. Now, if we were over on the other side, you'll know that during the time of Isaiah, we are actually down where Jonah and Amos were preaching to the northern kingdom. So Isaiah was after the divided kingdom as a prophet, but it was while there were still the two nations, the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, okay? So that's one of the challenges. Isaiah came to the nation of Judah, to the southern kingdom. And that's where he was prophesying. And so, as we think about that this morning, I just wanted you to know that there are some charts. There is another chart, and Dean, if you'll pop it up there. It doesn't show you compare as easily because it's this great big long chart of the different kings, and it talks about the different people, the prophets that talked to them and where they were sent to. And so I have two different charts, if you want one. I like the first chart. For me, it's easier to see. But it also stops when there is no longer, it stops with Jeremiah. That's not where the prophets stop, because then they are taken into exile. We know Daniel was during the exile. So there were different prophets during the time that they had been taken captive, taken out of Israel and Judah. So that is in this chart and not in this chart. This chart is only before the the nations were destroyed and taken captive. All right? So, I hope that kind of gives you a background. Isaiah, chapters 1 through 5, he starts talking about what God is going to do to the nation of Judah. It is not good news. It is not good news. It is very, very bad news. So if you read verses or chapters 1 through 5, you start finding out that Isaiah obviously was not a prophet that was really liked by the kingdom of Judah. Because he was telling them, you are sinners. You are sinners. You are sinners, 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 sinners. God's going to punish. God's going to punish, punish, punish. In there, Isaiah, when he is talking with God, says, how long do I have to do this? I hate it when God says, just keep doing it until all these come true. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Have you ever been there that you'd like God to give you a new song to sing? I bet you Isaiah was one of those, because why would he have come to God and say, why or how long do I have to do this, if he wasn't aware that it was not something that they were listening to? You know, every preacher likes to know that you're hearing what they're saying and that you're actually trying to take it and put it into practice in your life. All right? How many of you like to know that someone values what you said and is really, really trying to dig into it? You know, when we talk with someone who's got a problem and they've confided in us, and we can see that maybe there's something we can help them to look at, a different viewpoint, because we've got that, we're not invested in it. And it's so hard when you're invested in something to be able to really take a wide look at it. And so God gives us this message that maybe we can help them by this idea. We want them to say, yeah, I never thought of that before. I think I'll try that. Don't you want everyone that you talk to have that kind of an attitude? Oh, wow, yeah. Well, Isaiah was not getting that. So he's already spent time preaching about the sin of Judah. He's already not being received. And then all of a sudden, God says, it's time for you to have a new call. Well, this call was just a wake-up call for Isaiah. Have you ever looked at someone else and you can see clearly where they're making mistakes? But when you look at your life, is it just so easy to see all those clear mistakes? No, we find that is much harder to see. And so God was trying to point out that he was holy. And so he gives Isaiah this vision, and he takes him to the throne room, and there he sees the seraphs. And what are they doing? They're worshiping God. They're talking about how holy he is, how sanctified he is, how perfect he is. And as Isaiah came face to face with that, what did he then see about himself? I'm unclean. I've got sin in my life. I'm unclean. When I look at how holy you are, God, I start recognizing my faults, my failures, my weaknesses, and I recognize that I don't belong here. Oh no, I am going to be confronted because I don't belong here. I've got sin in my life. And Isaiah cries out, woe is me. Sometimes we need to cry out, woe is me. Sometimes we need to just recognize that we're not where God wants us to be. Sometimes we need to stop and say, okay, Lord, I see. I got the message. The light clicked on. And then we need to respond just as Isaiah did. You know, that is the thing that each of us needs to be sure about, is our response when God comes to us. What is our response? Is our response, I'll do it later, is our response, I'm too busy now? Is our response, I have a better idea? I don't know if you are any like that, but I've been there. God, I think you've got this wrong. Guess what? Find out real quick that I wasn't the one that had it wrong and not him. But I've tried that with God. I even tell God when I'm frustrated in what's going on in my life, in my spiritual life, I say, God, I'm frustrated. And right now I'm frustrated with you because I'm not getting it. Why didn't you make me smarter so I got it? Why didn't you make me stronger so I could do it? Why didn't you make me 30 years younger so I can climb these steps? We've always got all these why didn't yous. Isaiah didn't do that. He recognized his uncleanness, and the seraph responded and brought the coal to him. And it says it cleansed him totally. Did he touch him all over with that burning coal? No, just on his lips. You know, the scripture says that whatever's in the heart is coming out of the mouth. You can see a man's heart by what he says. If all that comes out is poison and negative, you know that the heart is not full of the God who is positive and powerful. It should be a wake-up call when we catch ourselves doing and saying things that we shouldn't do. When we make these negative confessions, we, in essence, curse ourselves. We need to turn and say, God, take my tongue, take my heart, take all of me. Cleanse me, just as Isaiah was cleansed with the burning coal. Cleanse me so that I may be your holy light in this world. And this is what's beautiful. God comes in and he brings the holiness, the righteousness. It says that you and I are going to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You know, I love that. And I love to know and recognize that this has already started. I have on part of the wedding clothes now. Have you ever thought about that feast, the wedding feast? And they had to go out and pull in more people, but then there was still one person who wasn't clothed right. And that person was cast out. But God is putting the wedding feast clothes on me as I grow in him. And I can't see them because they're spiritual. Now, you know what? Sometimes there's all these spiritual things that God gives to different individuals. And I have sometimes been jealous and I have to say, okay, God, you know what's best for me. But then I add in this, but if it'd be all right, I'd love to see an angel. I'd love to see my spiritual clothes. I'd love to see what heaven's going to be like before I actually get there. Well, guys, we can't imagine that. Think about the perfectness that God is. So you and I cannot even begin to grasp what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be wonderful. It's just, we are good. Okay, this morning in Sabbath school, we were talking about how my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. This is what happens when God comes in and starts his work. He changes us from the inside. And if we're not joyful, if we're not glad, then we better say, okay, I need, the rest of the scripture says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart will be glad and my tongue will rejoice. You know what? That's what's to be happening. And if we sense that we're not there, then get on our knees. Get in that holy spot and get down before the Lord and say, I've got to set you here before me, Lord, so I'm seeking you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Change me, fill me. Keep putting on the righteousness. God said, Isaiah, I need someone. I have a work that needs to be done. I said earlier, sometimes we tell God we're too busy. Sometimes it doesn't fit our plans. Sometimes our family is higher than where God is. Sometimes we make idols out of different things. We need to get right there where Isaiah was and said, Lord, send me. Send me. I'm available. He wasn't like Moses who said, I can't talk, send someone else. Isaiah said, send me. He came face to face with the holiness of God. And this is what's beautiful when this is done in the Spirit. You know, it talks about in the Bible that if we came face to face with God, we would die. But that's because of all the sin and the corruption. But in the Spirit, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different world. And so Isaiah was given a vision. This morning I challenge you. Respond. Respond. Say, here am I. Send me for whatever it is, just as they were talking about in the Sabbath school class. I have a purpose, Lord. Show me what it is. I'm here. I'm ready. If it's the same old boring job, I'm ready. But it's no longer to be boring because you're there. Because you're going to say, I can do a better job. I can let your light shine in a better way. Here am I. Send me. You know, when we come face to face with God, we're going to respond one way or another. I hope that each of us is at that point that Isaiah's cry will be on our lips as well. Amen. Hallelujah, Father, we rejoice. We rejoice because of your infinite love. We rejoice because of the salvation that was sent through your Son, that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that we can look forward to the newness of life because your Holy Spirit comes and dwells and makes a new creature. So, Father, continue to set us afire. Set us on fire on top of as a city on top of a hill, that the light of you may shine out of us. In Jesus' name, amen.